Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 8th. It's episode 631, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us here at Horses in the Morning on this bright, sunny Monday here in Florida. Jamie, before we get into the show, we have a ton to do today. We have a lot of guests and a lot of things we want to get to. But I've got to ask you, did Chad survive Saturday, as we learned on Friday? You guys were going to baby birthing class on Saturday. Baby making was a different one. So you were going to baby birthing class on Saturday. Did Chad survive 8 hours of breathing and pushing?
Well, first of all, Glenn, hold on. That dog's barking. Okay, first of all, baby making class would have been a lot more fun than baby birthing class. So I'm going to write that one down, suggest that to the hospital. And it wasn't 8 hours. You're exaggerating, Glenn. It was only 7 hours. Okay,
oh,
get it right.
Okay.
Yeah, we survived, and, he actually handled it a lot better than I did, because I did not need to see video after video after video of different women giving birth in different manners. Oh, this one had a C-section, this one had a this, and this one had dope drugs, and this one had the epidural, and this, oh my God, it was, it was pretty, graphic. And you're like, nobody else seemed bothered by any of this, except for me, who's like cringing, not looking, like closing my eyes, covering them. It's pretty tough.
Yeah, you're not much of a, you were never much of the horror movie kind of person either. You're more the romantic comedy, and this probably went a little beyond romantic comedy.
This was no romantic comedy, Glenn. Baby making class would have been romantic comedy. This was not. But I did feel like I learned a lot, so, you know, I am going to make more informed decisions, and that's all we can talk about. But we toured the baby suites, got pre-registered, did all the stuff we're supposed to do, so
you're
in. We're just one step closer.
And I assume because he's a great big manly fighter pilot, he will not pass out during this process.
Better not. I'm going to be passed out. So one of us has got to stay awake.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we are kicking off our week-long adventure into equestrian entertainment with Dale Simmons, who will be stopping by for a chat about the unexpected new career paths he's found for some off-the-track thoroughbreds. And next up, we will be catching up with Diane Binswanger, newly arrived back home after spending her winter in sunny Florida jumping big jumps. And closing the first chapter of the week, the wily voice of Horse Nation is here with the latest in satire and silliness from the horse universe.
Very good. Thank you so much, Jennifer. My Daily Winnie goes out to one of our listeners and the winner of one of the recent really bad ads where she won some Uncle Jimmy's products, including an Uncle Jimmy's hanging ball. And it looks like an Uncle Jimmy's Got Balls t-shirt. That's Doreen Rose, posted on our Facebook page over at Horses in the Morning, pictures and videos of her horse really going to town on the peppermint-flavored Uncle Jimmy's hanging ball that she won. And she's pictured there, too, wearing the Got Balls t-shirt. Now, I wonder if she's going to have enough, if she works outside the farm there, I wonder if she's going to have enough, if she's going to have the balls to wear that t-shirt to work. What do you think, Jamie? Will that get you fired, that one?
Depending on where she works, that might not be the most appropriate attire for a job.
Yeah, especially if she's like a nurse or something.
Exactly. Or she neuters cats, I don't know.
Or she's a, elementary school teacher. Probably not a good choice for that.
Yeah.
But the video of her horse, what's her horse's name? Flora. The video of Flora going after the Uncle Jimmy's hanging ball. Flora really likes the hanging ball, so the videos were cute. And did you notice, I don't know if you got a chance to watch them, what she had playing in the background?
Yeah, a little Templeton Thompson. But you know what frustrates me, Doreen? If you could please just hang the ball a little lower. I feel so bad for your horse. Like, my neck hurts with him straining to reach up. Did you?
Yeah.
Like, poor
I told
horse.
Her that. The rope is not quite long enough. You really need to hang it from the one of the bars on the stall if your stall has bars. It really needs to be about head height for the horse.
It looks like a huge horse, though.
Well, so thank you to Doreen for posting that. We really appreciate it. We love when you win stuff if you post pictures or videos, and she did both. A good, loyal listener right there.
Did you have another one, or you want me to go?
Nope, you're good.
Okay. Well, you guys all know, we've all seen the movie Secretariat. And the Wood Memorial was the race that Secretariat lost before the Kentucky Derby. And that's the one they were like, if you win this race, this is the big one. You lose one, that's a problem. You lose two, it's non-contract. You know, they had this whole drama with him losing the Wood Memorial, and they find out he has an abscess in his mouth, and they get it all treated. He goes back, and he wins the Kentucky Derby, right? So, my Daily Winnie goes out to Verrazano, who I think might be my pick. It's Todd Pletcher trained Verrazano, who might be my new pick for the Kentucky Derby after seeing this race. The Wood Memorial was this past weekend. We have the audio, so here we go.
Completing the field of 10 for the 89th Wood Memorial is Freedom Child in the gate. The favorite, Verrazano, at 4-5, ready for the start of the Wood Memorial. And they're off. Verrazano breaks in stride, and it was a horrible start for Freedom Child, left at the back of the pack. In the meantime, there goes Chris and the Camper out to take the lead. Chris and the Camper in front. An alert beginning for Verrazano now. He's second on the outside, conceding the early lead to Chris and the Camper, who steps out to lead by 3. El Nawi is now third toward the inside. Vijack right there in behind Verrazano. He's running now fourth as they make their way to the backstretch run. Then Go Get the Basil races in fifth place, followed by Normie Innovation, who's now sixth. Mr. Palmer is seventh. Freedom Child, after that disastrous start, eighth on the far outside. 3 lengths back to Always in a Tiz and Keynesium Monarch. So the field moving up the backstretch run. 24-4. It was a soft first quarter there for Chris and the Capper, going out as a long shot on an 80-1 prayer here. Verrazano, the heavily favored, is a stalking second as they make their way for the far turn. Freedom Child making an aggressive move on the outside. Vijack is right there, just in behind Verrazano. He's making a 3-wide move now. Normandy Invasion still in the thick of it. He's only about 5 from the front. The half was 49.35 seconds. It was very slow to develop this pace. 3 furlongs from the line. Verrazano now called on for run. Chris and the Capper keeps on fighting on. Second on the inside. Vijack is third, and he swings into action on the outside as the field turns for home. El Nawi is in behind horses, and Normandy Invasion is there on the outside, coming into the final furlong now. Verrazano tested as he has never been tested before by Vijack. Two undefeated 3-year-olds into the final 16th of a mile. Normandy Invasion is third, and they're coming down to the finish, and it will be Verrazano onto the Derby, undefeated. Normandy Invasion put in a very good run to be second, beaten three-quarters of a length by Jack.
So there you go. It was Verrazano with Normandy Invasion. Love that name, too, Normandy Woo! Invasion. I mean, the Normandy That's... Invasion sounds like a horse that should be second, though. No?
Yeah. It's so funny that announcer, you know, it's races like that, they start out so slow, and then all of a sudden their blood gets pumping, and the announcer's talking, and he's wrong, down the stretch they come. That was a very exciting race. So being that he's undefeated, they always figure out, oh, this horse isn't going to win the Kentucky Derby because he did this, because he hasn't done this. Well, this horse, Verrazano, never raced at the age of two. His first race was on January 1st of his three-year-old year, so his three-year-old birthday. And Todd Pletcher was interviewed about that. He was like, I'm pretty sure that everybody has proven that all these things are ridiculous. What with Big Brown, first horse winning from the 20th post position and blah, blah, blah. There's just seems to be so much surrounding, no matter what it is, the reason that this horse can't win the race. And Todd Pletcher is just like, you can suck it because this horse is pretty much going to win the dirt.
Yeah, there is a follow-up to that story, though. We have another race we want to play for you, but there's a follow-up to the Verrazano story. Is his jockey was John Velasquez. And John Velasquez was dumped the next day at Aqueduct in a race and sustained a slight fracture of his first rib on his right side and a small bone chip near his right wrist as a result of the seventh race at Aqueduct. He rode Verrazano, and he also rides Orb, another one of the horses that we're watching for the Kentucky Derby. So they're not sure how long Velasquez is going to be out of the running, but, you know, a rib and a small bone chip doesn't sound like a terribly long time for a jockey. They tend to ride through those kind of injuries, but we'll see.
Yeah, no, that to be a jockey and to have a broken rib and a bone chip, they're like, that's peanuts.
Yeah.
We'll run in the Derby.
I didn't break seven bones in this fall. I'm doing great. I'll be back.
Yep.
Well, the next one was out your way and had a horse that I made a comment on the other day. It's the horse by the name of Golden Sense, which sounds like a James Bond movie.
Oh, that's right. Golden Sense ran this past weekend, too. So this is the Santa Anita, right?
This is a Santa Anita Derby, and you think the last race call was good. Listen to this one. He's our favorite race caller. I wish I knew his name, but we love him, and this was a terrific race. Golden Sense was in this one, and you'll hear who else.
And just one to load now. The last one will be the long shot. Dirty Swag goes straight in. Gates closed. All set now for the grade one. Santa Anita Derby. Fields sent on their way to the roar from the large crowd here at the track today. And it is Super 99 once that early lead, given a loose rein, and Super 99 sprinting off to the front. But now the rider slows him down. Golden Sense is right there. Summer Exclusive pulling hard on the outside. Down at the rail comes Flashback the Grey. He's very keen to go on as well. Having to go wide into the turn now is Storm Fighter. They really bunched up here, though. Alongside of that comes Power Broker. In behind that, Dirty Swag. And as expected, Tis A Minister. No early speed is 14 off the lead. Past the three-quarter pole they go, and Super 99 has the lead, but they're not in a big hurry here. Golden Sense is on a long rein, going along comfortably in second. Summer Exclusive's on the far side. Flashback is down at the rail, and Power Broker between them. Only three lengths separates those five. In behind that is Gary Stevens and Storm Fighter. They now have six to make up. Dirty Swag at the back of the leading group, and a big gap of eight lengths further back to Tis A Minister. Into the turn they go in the Santa Anita Derby, and it's Super 99 the leader. Golden Sense now comes to turn the pressure on, and Golden Sense goes to take on Super 99 as they quicken into the turn. Here's Flashback the Grey now coming to tackle them as well. On the far side, Power Broker's got to do better. In behind that, Storm Fighter, they come into the top of the lane. Super 99, now here comes Flashback. And Flashback is hooked to the grandstand side, and he comes powerfully. Golden Sense going with him. This is the match race we've been waiting for. Golden Sense digs deep. He finds more. Flashback can't get by him. and Golden Sense is widening with a 16th to go. It's Golden Sense in full flight for the wire over Flashback, and Golden Sense and Kevin Krieger have won the Santa Anita Derby. Flashback was second. It's a big gap back to Super 99. Then came Tizza Minister, Power Broker. Behind that, Storm Fighter, Dirty Swag, and Summer Exclusive.
Awesome! That is actually announcer Trevor Denman, who is from South Africa, and he's the one who does all the Breeders' Cup races.
I love that guy.
He's the one who, when Zenyatta was running around, he's like, "This is unbelievable." That was him.
I love him. He is so good.
Yeah,
so good. Well, Golden Sense, of course, you're going to recognize the trainer of Golden Sense. Does the name "I'll Have Another" have any, have any recollection for you? Well, Doug O'Neill also trains Golden Sense, so we're going to see Doug O'Neill, I think, back in the Kentucky Derby this year after "I'll Have Another" win last year.
It's shaping up to be an exciting derby. So who's your pick so far, Glenn? Is it Orb? Is it Golden Sense? Is it Verrazano?
I don't know. I'm going to hold out. There's some more key races coming up here with some horses that we're looking at. So I'm going to hold out a little bit yet. I'm not picking.
Okay. All right. I'm not picking yet either because, jumping on Verrazano's bandwagon seems so, like, he's the favorite right now. So
I was actually surprised. You usually don't jump on bandwagons.
Yeah. But he ran so well this past weekend. And the Wood Memorial Secretariat's race, it just shapes you right up to have a victory in the Derby. Whatever. I'm excited. I'm excited for anybody to win, but we'll have to do our research as we get closer.
Well, there's a horse that's everybody's favorite while we're waiting for our first guest here, and that is Black Caviar. Black Caviar is supposed to go out this weekend in something called the T.J. Smith Stakes at Randwick in Australia. And it's been raining a lot there, apparently, and the track is very heavy and, just mud central. So they're looking at that if it keeps raining this week, they're going to scratch Black Caviar. Apparently, the trainer has no interest in taking Black Caviar on a super muddy, crappy track. So, if he can pick what races Black Caviar goes in, nobody's going to argue.
Well, yeah, I love the fact that there's a little drama behind this race, Glenn. There's a rival trainer named Joe Pride who has two horses entered in that race. And he, listen to this, he's like, "It will be just a trot and a canter for some of the races that Black Caviar has been in because he's got two horses in it that are going to challenge her this time. She's going to have to," if she wins, she will certainly earn it. But nobody wants to get in her way. It's going to be different up here. And Peter Moody is like, he's ridiculous. Peter Moody goes, every horse is fast until she's there.
When you see Black Caviar's races, there's usually only four or five other horses in there. There's not a ton of other horses in there with her, so
everybody just wants to beat her now, or get their horses heartbroken. It's pretty much breaking their hearts.
All right, well, our first guest is ready. You want to take this one?
I would love to. Actually, I'm pretty excited to talk to him. We'd like to welcome Dale Simmons to Horses in the Morning. Dale, good morning.
Good morning.
Dale is from Horse Creek Thoroughbreds and has a program called Great Geldings. Now, tell everybody a little bit about what you guys do.
Well, we take geldings off the racetrack, thoroughbred geldings off the racetrack. We retrain them, kind of heal them up from stresses at the racetrack, and we make ranch horses out of them. We just use them, we ride them, and when they're ready to go, then we turn around and sell them.
So how did you get started? And you hear a lot about off the track thoroughbreds going to career and jumping, eventing, and dressage or trail horses. You don't hear a lot of them going to do ranch work. How did you get started in this?
I bought my first thoroughbred when I was 12 years old. And that's been a long time ago.
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah, like 45 years ago. And I've been riding thoroughbreds ever since. They're good horses.
Go ahead, pardon? I'm sorry. I was just going to say, so you got them a long time ago. How did you get started kind of doing the horses off the track to become ranch horses?
Well, I wanted to stay in the horse business when everything kind of crashed in 2008. We just quit breeding mares, and I had quite a bunch of yearlings left over, and I started, when I'd see a horse I thought might work on TVG or HRTV, I'd call the racetrack and get the trainer's phone number and try to trade him a yearling for their horse that couldn't run.
Now, I've tried to do that, and they never give me their phone number. So you must have had a little bit of pull. When I see horses, I actually had tried to contact somebody at Keeneland, and they never wrote me back. So,
I met a lady on the phone at Turfway Park. She worked in the office, and her husband was working for a trainer that had 150 head of horses in training. And that turned into a pretty good deal. They knew enough to quit before the horse quit. And they'll heal up. Most of them will heal up from just about anything if you leave them still standing.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest problem here is the freight to get them here. I've got quite a little money, anywhere from $500 to $900 in them in freight just to get here. So,
where are you guys located?
We're about 40 miles from the Montana border, about 35 miles from the Wyoming border. We're in western South Dakota.
My gosh, you are! It's a nice, warm, balmy winter up there, huh?
Well, it was this year.
Really?
We really need some moisture. We haven't had any moisture in over 2 years now. We didn't have any snow, and it's really dry.
Man, wow! So you're living up there, and you've got. Did you have a cattle ranch before? Was it a thoroughbred breeding farm? What was Horse Creek?
Well, we raised hay, and we raised horses up until 2008. We've got a stud still. He's by Meadow Lake out of a Stormcat mare, Finn McCool. He's probably the best ranch horse anywhere in the area.
Is he the only thoroughbred stallion ranch horse anywhere in the area?
He might be the only one in the United States.
I bet he is.
He's also the leading sire in the States. He's a pretty nice horse. There's pictures of him on our Facebook page, ground tied in an arena full of horses. You step off him and drop your bridle reins, and he stays there. I've carried baby calves on him. There's not a thing in the world you can't do on that horse.
Why do you like the thoroughbreds for ranch work as opposed to a quarter horse or an appy or something?
Well, they keep your feet out of the grass.
Are you a tall guy there, Dan?
No, I'm not. But most of these quarter horses, as far as I'm concerned, are in the pony category.
I have never heard it put that way. We need to write that one down.
Well, if you ever had to pull your pant legs up and pull a tick off your leg, maybe you should get a bigger horse. I like it. My trained racehorses at the track. I won my first race when I was 12 years old. The horse I rode was 12 also. And I've been riding thoroughbreds ever since I got off of ponies. My dad made me ride ponies when I was a little kid, and it really had a profound effect on me. I'd never do it to a kid of mine. All I ever wanted was a better horse, and I just thought thoroughbreds were the best. And I like them. They're smart
now,
horses.
Do your rancher neighbors make fun of you, though, Dale? Do they all kid you and pick on you?
They used to. Some of them still do. I don't mind. It depends whether or not I like the neighbor.
Well, it all stops when your horse outruns theirs and is more athletic than theirs and is faster and taller and goes a lot longer. So I think that you're doing the right thing. Thoroughbreds are my favorite breed as well, Dale. So you've got a cattle. It sounds like you have a cattle ranch too. How big is your place?
Well, our place isn't very big. What we own and lease about 400 acres.
Wow. You raise hay, cattle, breed thoroughbreds. You kind of do it all.
Right. I do a lot of day work for other people. If they have cow work they need done, they'll call me and I go do it or go help them do it. I've got to go today and help a guy move his cattle home because we're supposed to get a foot of snow. Most of the pastures out here are like 2,500 acres. So it's kind of daunting for a horse to look at that big of a pasture when he's probably never seen anything bigger. The biggest thing he might have ever seen was a racetrack. So it's a really good training situation. You can let the situation that arises kind of dictate the training method. So if you run into a problem with a horse, you can just ride them through it.
Right.
And a thoroughbred is they've got a tough mind. If you don't have a half a day, you better not pick a fight out of one. So I don't know where I'm even going with this.
It sounds like you just have a total passion for the thoroughbred breed, and what you're doing is a great thing, Dale, by taking them off the track and giving them a second career. And any sort of ranch work is really going to help the brain of a thoroughbred, especially going from the confines of the racetrack to being in a 25-acre pasture where, you know, you're right, you just ride them through it. You just got to keep going. So are you finding that, I know you sell a lot of these horses, are you finding that people are wanting these guys for ranch work, or are they going on to other careers back to the jumper world or the eventing world?
A lot of them do. The really valuable thing for these horses after they've become ranch horses, they can go do about anything. There's some of them are rope horses, barrel horses, just trail horses, and a lot of them do go back to be hunter jumpers and 3-day eventers. But that, most of them are here about 2 years, maybe three. So they're pretty well healed. When I first get a horse here, I don't ask them to do anything they don't want to do for anywhere from 2 to 6 months. They're pretty well shelled out, some of them. They just need to heal. So and I hear rescues that say they ride a horse for 30 to 60 days. I don't see how they can do that. And most of our people that buy these horses are older women in their 50s and 60s that finally have time to buy a horse. And I'm not going to sell somebody like that a horse that might hurt them.
Well, good for you. I think what you guys are doing is amazing. I agree with you. I don't know how these people get these horses turned around so quickly. I don't think they get them thoroughly fixed, you know. So where can people find out more? Like, say somebody wants to get a horse from you. Where can they find you? What's your website? I found you guys, Horse Creek Thoroughbreds. Just search for it on Facebook. Do you have any other, like, how do people contact you?
Well, I can give you my phone number. It's 605-569-2249. And you can always get us on our website, too, at horsecreektb.com.
Love it. Well, it has been a pleasure talking to you. I hope we can have you on again when you do have a bunch of horses coming in or coming out. Please, we'd love to talk to you again. Congratulations on what you're doing. It's inspiring, especially to somebody who loves thoroughbreds. And I'm just really, really proud of what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you.
Dale, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Okay, you bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
I really liked what about what he said. By the way, there were a couple of classic lines in there that he had there.
a cool guy.
It caught me off guard. But one of the things I really liked that I saw on his website and he reiterated is how much time they take letting them become a horse again before they go into the retraining process, which is so important for these thoroughbreds or any, you know, standardbreds, anything coming off hard, heavy work like that. So I really like that. But let's take a break for Omega Alpha Equine, and then we're coming back. We are going to switch to the jumper world. We have Diane Little with us, who is an up-and-coming jumper rider here in the United States. We're going to chat with her a little bit, and right after this word from Omega Alpha Equine.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year, and the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably. And I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
And you can also find them at omegaalphaequine.com. Well, next up, we have a jumper rider by the name of Diane Little. She's an up-and-comer in the jumper world, just got done with her season in Florida, and I think is headed back north. We're going to find out where that is. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Where's your farm up north?
I am right outside of Philadelphia in Chester Springs, Pennsylvania.
Oh, sure.
It's called Peace by Peace Farm. So we're right in the beautiful Chester Springs area.
Peace by Peace. That's a neat name for a farm, actually. That's a cool name. Now, tell us, Diane, how long you been jumping?
Oh, goodness. A long time. I begun my riding career when I was very young, when I was 8. But I would say in college was really when I started to compete. And I was blessed with the opportunity to work with a man named Wilhelm Ginn for a couple years as his working student. And that's really where I really became, you know, more competitive and really fell in love with the sport.
Now, when you were growing up as a teenager and through high school and all of that, were you doing jumpers or did you do a variety of things at that point?
I did everything and anything when I was growing up. I did jumpers, hunters. I did some eventing. I did, you know, pace events and all of it. I kind of tested the waters everywhere, and then I settled in the jumper ring as I got older.
Why? What was the thing that attracted you to that? Yeah.
I enjoy the technical part of it. I really enjoy kind of trying to break down the courses. I enjoy the fact that it requires such strong, basic flat work. I really press that with my students, the importance of learning how to work these horses properly on the flat, learning how to strengthen them properly on the flat, in order to be able to succeed in the jumper ring. So I was really drawn into it. I enjoy also the ability to, it's a little bit faster, it's a little more exciting. So I think that's part of it too. I enjoy the excitement.
And of course that's why jumpers, jumping shows draw all the crowds that they do. Bigger crowds than we see in a lot of the other disciplines. You obviously just got done down here in Florida. Were you in Ocala or were you down in Wellington?
I was actually all over the place. I was in Aiken, South Carolina, and then Pensacola, Florida, and then I was in Gulfport, Mississippi. So I did a whole bunch of horse shows while I was down there. I was in Pensacola for a while, which was a fantastic horse show, absolutely awesome. And then I've been to Gulfport many times, and I love that big grass field for the jumpers. So it was wonderful.
What's the thing that is most challenging, that you find most challenging about being a jumper? And I mean in the whole. I don't mean just dealing with, shows or anything. What's the thing that challenges you every day the most about being a professional full-time jumper?
That's a good question. I think that it's not just specific jumper, I must say, but the challenging thing is to, make sure that these horses are fit enough, are taken care of well enough to be able to succeed in this sport. We put a lot of pressure on our horses, and I take a lot of pride in making sure that my horses feel good, look good, and are truly, truly prepped for the classes that I want them to do.
And, is that something that, a lot of people have the misconception that in some of the higher ends of some of the disciplines, that the professional riders, that the grooms do all the work and the professional riders just show up and they really don't spend any time with their horses at all. Is that true? Or is it a misconception? Or what's the story?
Well, that is, I would have to say that's quite a misconception. I took a break from picking my stalls this morning to talk
See,
to you guys.
You go.
So believe me, we all do all the dirty work. That's part of it. You got to really, really love every part of this sport to succeed in it. I truly believe that. So yes, we know the importance of the care of the animals, the everyday care. I think that is just so important to be successful.
You just made the day of a lot of lower level amateur riders, by the way. They feel better now. Now, so you also do lessons and all that stuff, and do you find that with your peers that most of you end up doing that kind of thing also? I thought, when I asked you that challenge question, I really thought I was going to get the financial end, because we do from so many people is, trying to, pay the bills and keep it all going, and that's partly why you do lessons and do all of that. And I guess for different riders, there's a different level of challenge. Now, you guys actually win money. My co-host, Jamie, is an eventer, and she just drools every time we report on jumping winnings.
Yeah, it's not fair. Totally not fair.
That is a plus in the jumper ring.
Was that one of the things that got you, that enticed you into jumpers?
Yes, 100% yes. I do like that I go to horse shows and I can pay my bills and I have the ability to win money. That is a big, huge draw.
So unlike the eventers who go out and do the same thing, they jump and risk their neck every day and don't win anything. See, Jamie, you need to rethink this whole plan.
You should rethink.
It's just like the Western riders we talk to. You need to ride Western and start doing some cutting and win some money or some reining. That's where the money is in the Western world. So, you know what? I'm just going to stay broke and love it. Whatever.
You talked about your horse's care.
Yeah.
And one of the new sponsors we have coming on to the Horse Radio Network is Horse Quencher. And I understand you use Horse Quencher. Can you tell us what it is and why you use it?
Horse Quencher is, I want to call it a supplement, and what you do is you put it in a bucket of water, and it has a whole bunch of vitamins, minerals in it. It doesn't have any sugar in it. You don't have to worry about, you know, hyping your horses up, but and it makes the horses drink the water. I've used it so much. I do a lot of horse shows with my younger kids where we go for the day, and the horses have to stand on the trailer all day. And you really, truly worry about them, especially when it's hot outside. You worry that they won't drink water and you might end up with some sort of colic problem. So I use it constantly through those day shows. I put it in my buckets. I mix it up. The horses absolutely love it. It can be quite funny because they all, like, are fighting over getting to this bucket of water. And I find that it works great. You know, if I've given bags to people who have said, look, I have a little bit of a colicky horse. I worry constantly about them drinking water. I tell them about the product. I give them samples. Everybody says that it works great. So I love it. I really do. I think it's a great product.
Now, when you're traveling, do you give it? I know we talked to Chester Weber, we live in Ocala, and he's about 4 miles from here, and he uses it for his horses. And one of the ways he uses it is when he's traveling. Do you give it to them before they travel? Do you during travel? When they get there, what do you do as far as traveling is concerned?
Usually it's during, while they're on the trailer, when I stop for fuel, I put it in the bucket, I give it to them. And then also when I get to the horse show, if I notice that two of my horses didn't drink the water I put in there, I'll put them in there as well, just to make sure they're hydrated after a long drive.
You know, we have a trail horse here by the name of Beaker that everybody knows. He's Jennifer's trail horse. And when we take him out away from home, he's not a good drinker. You know, they can go out trail riding for 4 or 5 hours in the forest here in Florida, and he'll come back, and he's just never been much interested in drinking. But this stuff really works. And I'm not just saying it. You put it in the bucket, and this horse will drink the entire bucket when he gets back. He really does like it. And I have heard, a couple of reports of horses that don't love it, but they're very few.
Yeah, very few. I haven't had anybody that didn't like it. So all my horses just seem to love it. Sometimes if I have to wait a little bit, you got to put it in the bucket and wait a little bit. I'm not sure why. Maybe the taste gets in there, but everybody that I've given it to drinks it.
And so it's Horse Quencher, for those that haven't heard of it before. It's a blend of all natural grains and flavorings, and it comes in a packet. And you take this packet and you put a certain quantity into the water, and it basically gives the water some flavor, really makes the horses want to drink it up. But more, it does have the all natural grains and everything in it. But more importantly, it just helps them want to drink the water, so you can hydrate them. You don't have the problem with colic, especially when you're traveling and at horse shows and things like that, or even at home and you just get back from a trail ride and you want to make sure they drink. That's where it becomes most important, at least from what we found.
Yes.
Yeah. And you can find it at horsequencher.com. It's horsequencher.com is where you'll find their website. Just hop on there. There's a lot more details on there about it. And where can people find your barn? Where, Diane?
You can look up my website, www.dylittle.com, or phone number 267-838-0385. We're also on Facebook. So if you search Piece by Piece Farm, we'll come up on Facebook as well. So we should be up there when you search.
And Diane is in the heart of horse country there outside of Philadelphia. That is that's where a lot of the big name eventers and jumpers and everybody hangs out there around Chester County and all of that outside of Philly, between there and Lancaster County. Is where they all are. So thank you, Diane. We appreciate you being there. Best of luck in your career, and we thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's Diane Little, Piece by Piece Farm. Well, have you ever used the Horse Quencher yet, Jamie?
I have not, but I'm almost sold on it just listening to her describe it. I mean, that sounds like something that would be so incredibly important for horses that are traveling, and it actually made my mouth water when you were talking about,
you know.
It's like Kool-Aid for horses, basically, only without the sugar.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing.
If
you don't have the sugar and the crap in there, it just makes it – it's Gatorade for horses. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yeah,
you know,
it
just
sounds really good, and it sounds like the horses really want it. I mean, she sold it for sure.
And especially where you live, you know, out there in Phoenix where it gets 115 in the next couple months. And you want to make sure your horses are drinking. Do you have a bad – is it colic worse in areas like you live in where it's so hot? Is colic worse in those areas, or is that something that's just in my head?
I don't know. You know, I think that the main problem with colic out here is sand colic, with horses eating and ingesting sand, much like you guys probably have in Florida. You know, I am pretty darn careful with the guys drinking all summer long. It seems like they want to drink a lot more. They go crazy. But you want to make sure your water doesn't get hot. That's one problem. A lot of people, and I talked to a veterinarian in our area, and she said that she, you know, when we were installing automatic waterers into the stalls, and she said, I don't suggest you get those little metal ones that they put their mouth on and they drink, push down, you know, and the water comes out, which is very popular here for some reason. She said that she went to a call and the horse was colicking and she realized how dehydrated it was, and the horse had, like, burns on its lips, and just finally put together that their automatic waterers were in the sun, and their metal, and the horses were burning their mouth trying to drink the water. So that is, I think, the biggest problem. You know, with my horses, I give them so many electrolytes all summer long. Anytime it's hot, anytime there's a change in temperature, whether it's supposed to work or not, it works for me, so I do it. But I try to keep them ahead of their drinking rather than let them get behind.
Well, we're gonna have to make sure you get some horse quencher, too, so you can give that a try when you're traveling, especially.
Idea, especially with, you know, when any horse trial is 6 hours away, I'll take anything I can do. You know, you lug buckets to the back of your trailer, because not all of us have fancy automatic waters in our trailer. You carry it to the back, and you lift the bucket up, and you push it all the way up, and they just stare at you. Like, I'm not going to drink that. Isn't that awful? When you, like,
that's what Beaker used to do.
Oh, it's so frustrating. You're like, drink, damn it. Like, nope, not going to drink.
Well, speaking of trailers, I have a fun song for you today. It's called Hear the Trailer Coming. It's by one of our favorite cowboy poets by the name of Jeff Dawson. This guy's very funny, and he wrote this song. I think you guys are going to like it. It's called Hear That Trailer Coming, and listen to the guy in the story that the song is about. We all know one of these guys. Here we go.
I'm going to tell you all a story about a cowboy named Joe. You see, he couldn't get out of bed without stubbing his toe. He was big and clumsy and unorthodox, all right, and I never seen him straddle any horse that it didn't end up in a fight. Well, I got to thinking, it's a wonder old Joe ain't dead, because if Johnny Cash would have known old Joe, he'd have wrote this song instead. Well, I hear that trailer coming. It's coming up the road. Well, I ain't got my horse caught, and I'm betting he won't load. Lord, this cowboy work is starting. It ain't that fun for me. As I try to catch old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, I went into the horse corral, and he bit me on the arm. I cried just like a baby as he looked around the barn. Lord, the teeth marks are stinging. They're swelling up, you see. As I try to catch old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, I grab my favorite lariat and I run him in the shed. I chuck my favorite Houlihan, I rope a 2-year-old instead. Lord, my gloves are smoking. I'm just a-dragging along. As I
try to catch old chips. Everything I do is wrong. Well, the boys holler, we're not waiting. Can't you saddle that old hide? Just as I pull my cinch up, he cow kicked me in the side. Lord, I hope my day gets better. They're all laughing at me as I try to load old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Well, there's probably rich folks ranching on some horses that are swell. But if they had to ride old Cherokee, they wouldn't like it near as well. Lord, I hope my day gets better. He starts to bucking with me as I try to ride old Cherokee, and that's what tortures me. Here we go. Well, old Cherokee don't quit bucking till he gets me on the ground. As I hit and roll, I'm hoping all the cattle go around. Lord, I hope my day gets better. Ain't wanting trampled, you see. Here we go. Well, I guess I'll sell old Cherokee. He's done a torturing me. So long, Cherokee.
There you go. Kind of a fun little song by Jeff Dawson, our favorite cowboy poet, called Hear the Trailer Coming. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. We are sponsored today by OmegaAlphaEquine.com. So, Jamie, you've never had any of those guys or had problem horses and just they were problems themselves. It was more the human's problem than the horse's problem. Never.
Wait. Back up. What are you talking about?
Well, the guy in the song, you know, he couldn't ride that horse. Well, it wasn't the horse's fault. So we never knew anybody like that.
No. I've never seen a horse like that. I've never met a horse I didn't love, Glenn. You know, they all love me back, too, which is amazing.
I'm sure they do.
Well, yesterday we had, you know, being pregnant and living here on the farm and all that, you know, people love to come over and see the horses, especially with so many friends that are Air Force friends and not horse people. So there's this one couple that has like three kids and they've really been wanting to come to the farm. So Chad's like, yeah, sure, come on over, schedules it for yesterday to come over to the house. And, you know, three kids, I'm like, okay, they're going to want to do, you know, like a little pony ride or whatever. And I've got plenty of ponies for them to ride. So no problem. At some point, between inviting this family, so I call another friend of mine who has been wanting to come over, and she and her husband and their kids. So I call them, and I'm like, oh, hey, we're going to have some people over. Why don't you guys come? So we have two couples that we've invited over, like last Wednesday, to come and spend some time with us here at the farm, see the horses, all that kind of stuff, right? You with me so far?
With you so far, yep.
All right, so when you are a fighter pilot, every Friday afternoon after work, they all pretty much go to, every fighter squadron has a bar inside it. And on Friday afternoon, fighter squadron bars are where kind of everybody goes at the end of their week, and they all hang out and have some beers and talk, and it's very manly and it's very guy stuff, you know. I guess at some point on Friday when my husband was in the, and I had bought food for the cookout, you know, I've been like little good little wifey, going to entertain his coworkers, two couples, three, four, five kids, and us. At some point in my husband's drinking with the bros on Friday night, he extended an invitation to the entire building. And it's, he comes home on Friday night. He's like, oh, by the way, I invited some people to come too. I just thought we might as well invite. And I was like, excuse me? Like, I'm sorry.
I'm not very mobile these days, and I'm not really wanting to run back to the store, grab a couple items here and there. We have, on Saturday, we have a 7-hour baby class. You know, like, I don't have a whole lot of time to do everything. So yesterday, I was like, how many people did you invite? And he's like, oh, just a couple more, just a few. I had 27 people at my house yesterday.
Wives love that when guys do that.
He didn't even know
what time he told people. I've gotten in trouble for that
before, too. Yes. He didn't even know what time he told people to come. I'm like, what time is everybody coming? He's like, I don't know. What time did you tell them to come? He's like, I don't know, like 2, 3, 4, 1, 5, I don't know. I'm like, what? So how many people are coming? I don't know. So try to plan a cookout for an undetermined amount of people at an undetermined time on an undetermined, like the only thing that was determined was a day. That was it. So I basically went into the store. I actually made him go to the store, and I gave him a list. And I was like, here's what you're going to get. And so now we have 427 hot dogs left over. We are all out of chicken. we have no more salad stuff. I got to go back to the store today because everybody ate me out of house and home, but nobody wanted a dang hot dog. So I'm like, I'm a little frustrated with my husband. We had a good time, but guess what I got to do all day yesterday was give the, out of the 27, I think 20 of them were children, I got to give all of them pony rides.
Oh, there you go.
For hours.
That made it
better.
Yeah.
That was so fun. Actually, I took one around the arena, and I was like, hey, Chad, come on out here and lead them around. Your turn. Okay, you're good. I'm going to sit down.
And, you know, when you have a party at a horse farm, you cannot get away without doing the pony rides. It's like mandatory. It's an obligation.
I like to think that these people come for our friendship or for, you know, a little fun with us.
Pony ride.
BS. They bring their kids to see the horses and ride the horses. And
it
know,
obviously
when,
wasn't
when,
for the tofu hot dog.
No, definitely not, which were really delicious, by the way. You think that when they come to your house, you know, it's summer, it's hot out, we have a pool, they bring their bathing suits. No, every child came dressed in jeans and boots. Like, it is 85, 90 degrees outside, and you're wearing jeans and boots and, like, little cowboy hats and everything. So, I mean, they're all so cute. But, you know, it's just one of those reminders that Chad and I are having one child. Like, that's it. We're good. That's enough.
Now, which horse of yours, which retired thoroughbred do they ride?
Oh, no, they don't ride my thoroughbreds. We have a paint horse on the property named Chili, and we also have the little POA pony named Jacob. Neither one of those are my horses. They're Borders horses, but they're here to be used, so they are allowed to go out and give pony rides. They're the best ones. The thoroughbreds, not so much. Here, hop on Edward. He is a 16-3 off-the-track thoroughbred. He has a little bit of a spook in him. Don't worry about that. He bolts.
Yeah,
but, Edward. Nah, that's not a problem.
It's normal when he stands up on two legs like that. That's normal. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yes. Now, when you have these, we've done this before too. I think everybody that has horses has had this situation pop up. And there's always the one kid, usually about junior high age, who's constantly saying, go faster. I'm tired of walking. I want to go faster.
Oh my God. Were you here yesterday? Seriously?
Gosh, you always get that kid. That one kid.
Well,
it's always a boy. Too.
It was one little girl who like, I rode in summer camp last summer. I rode in summer camp. So Chad's leading her around, or actually letting her steer, because Chili, the paint horse, he'll pretty much just follow you. Don't tell anybody. But you just put a peppermint in your pocket and he'll follow you wherever. So they think they're driving. It's brilliant. So she is like, I rode at Pony Club and I had summer camp and I rode horses all summer. And so I'm like, okay, great. You know, and so I'm walking around. She goes, at Pony Camp, they let me trot. So that means you would like to trot? She goes, yeah. Can we go faster? I'm like, listen. I'm like, Chad, come on out here and start running.
So I gave him the peppermint and made chili. Oh, yeah, but, I mean, you know, bless her little heart. She was hanging on for dear life. And that's the thing is when you teach riding lessons and you're teaching kids, you can kind of gauge, like, when you need to walk because they start to bounce more than, like, if their head gets past 3 o'clock or 9 o'clock, you need to stop. Like,
is that the rule?
That's my rule. Like you, and poor Chad, he didn't know that rule, and so he's trotting around. This child is sideways, backwards, underneath the horse, hanging onto the neck. And I'm like, honey, walk, walk,
stop. And of course, so the parents are just taking pictures. They don't care, and they don't know.
This is so great. Look,
yeah.
Child is so cute on video. I'm like, oh, if you had that video on America's Funniest Home Videos, you would win $10,000. So, very exciting day at Flyover Farm yesterday. I did eventually forgive my husband once I made him do all the work. but, yeah, it's very exciting to have, like, all these random people show up at your house. Didn't remember who he invited. Didn't remember what time he told them. They just showed up.
We've all made that mistake as horse husbands once. Usually yeah. Don't make it a second time. Yeah, I've made that mistake. Usually, I've never made that one twice. Hey, we're waiting for Leslie from Horse Nation to get on here, but I also, while we're waiting, there's a story that we have not updated that we really need to update that we've covered extensively here on Horses in the Morning, and that was the story about the Arkansas Five. You remember the South Arkansas University rodeo team where the horses were stolen and tortured and all that stuff? Well, there were four different people involved in that. You had the J.C. Ray Jackson, who was the university student, who was the instigator in all of this. You
who
had
was potentially
two guys,
dating one of the who was like dating one of the rodeo guys or something.
Yeah,
and
the coach
it
or
went
something
south.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had the two accomplices by the name of William Webster, Billy Webster Hamilton, and George Burnish. They were the pair that stole the horses, that actually were in charge of stealing the horses and eventually torturing, and didn't they kill one or two of them? And then you had the mother. You had the mother of J.C. Ray Jackson, whose name is Wendy Cox, who was in on this whole thing. You know, you would think that the mother would have been the one with any kind of sanity in this mess, but she was not. Charges and the sentencing have started to come down now, so... You want to hear who gets what? Well, William, none of them got the death penalty, but close to it with some of these. You'll be very happy, let's put it that way. William Webster, Billy Hamilton, one of the guys in charge of physically stealing the horses, was sentenced to 30 years in jail. Now, when is the last time we've heard a horse thief get 30 years in jail?
You can abuse a horse and get, you know, and starve him to death and get arrested here in Arizona and you get 30 minutes in jail. So
exactly.
That's fantastic.
Well, his partner, who apparently was not one that was accused of actually killing any of the horses, Burnish, was jailed for 10 years. Now, get this. The mother was charged with conspiracy in this whole incident. She had conspiracy charges in the theft and everything that happened. 60 years in prison.
60?
She will not be eligible for parole for at least 10 years. 60 years she got. Now, the instigator of all this, J.C. Ray, is not been sentenced yet. She's due for sentencing on July the 18th and faces a multitude of charges. She's also facing... She's facing charges in two jurisdictions, too, one where the theft took place and then also where the mother was for conspiracy. So not only is she facing stealing and stolen property and all of that, she's facing conspiracy charges in the other state for conspiring to do it. So, you know, we're talking, you know, if the mother got 60 years, imagine what she's going to get. We're looking at it.
Oh, this is so exciting. That's
great. I know you'd be happy with that because... it's been a long time coming that we see some justice done on behalf of the horses when it comes to things like this. Because you're right, they usually get 30 days in jail, 10 minutes, you know, something.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this is great. And, you know, it just begs the question of what were these people thinking?
what was the motive behind stealing a bunch of horses for a jaded ex-girlfriend and then slaughtering them and then thinking you're going to get away with it? And to be caught, and now you're in jail for 60 years. You're a loser. Like, you're toast. And then to get the mom involved. Oh, this one. And I hope the next one gets a death penalty. My God, J.C. Ray Jackson, you are a terrible, terrible person.
Well, this is there's more that's come out, too, in the hearings and everything. And this is what it says. The horses were stolen under the cover of darkness, and they were – the plan was to steal the horses with the intent of reselling them. They were taken across the state border to Oklahoma. However, the plan faltered after Jackson told her mother she recognized credit card, which was one of the horses, remember, that was part of this whole thing. And Cox formed the view the horse was too risky to sell. It was the view that cost that horse its life, because that's the one that they actually shot, because they were afraid that credit card was too popular in that area and they couldn't resell credit card. So they used the trailer was used to haul the horses that had been found and become too risky to move the horses, so that's when they tied them to these trees and stuff in rural McCurtain County, and they just left them there. So, you know, this was a plan. They had a plan. We're going to resell the horses, and then all things started going wrong. Just a nightmare, the whole thing.
Well, I think that people forget how incredibly fast word spreads when you have internet, Twitter, Facebook, text messages, emails, phone calls. You know, these popular rodeo horses get stolen. You're not going to sell them to anybody who's reputable at all. You know, people are looking for these horses. You got Net Posse is on your butt looking for these horses. So to think that you're going to get away with something that nobody gets away with for the most part, you know, it's ridiculous. And then so they basically credit card's the one that they like shot and cut apart, right? Like dismembered and everything. Oh,
yeah.
Just awful.
Yep.
Just awful.
Yeah,
Poor thing.
That was a mess. And where'd they find these two guys? I guess, you know, you put an ad in Craigslist, you can find two guys to do anything, huh?
Oh, man, they probably like J.C. Ray and her mama, and they wanted to get a piece of that, so they're going to do whatever they're told, you know, and then look at them now, 60 years and 10 years, 30 years and 10 years, crazy.
A lot of years for these guys. So I don't think it looks too promising for J.C. Ray at this point to get out of jail anytime soon. J.C. Ray's going to be hanging out for a while.
Good.
What was the other thing I wanted to mention, too? Totally blanking on it. McLean Ward, we talked about jumping there a little bit earlier. McLean Ward won the $200,000 American Invitational in Tampa, Florida. And I think the winning prize, if I remember correctly, in that was like $100,000. So he walked away with $100,000 of it. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is it's McLean Ward, and it also will make Jamie just cry into her soup a little bit more.
Oh, no.
Because it's so much money.
Tell me, what is it?
It was like $120,000 that he took home for this weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, if it's any consolation, my event with the, you know, travel and stabling and the horse trial, you're looking at like maybe $400. These people have to pay like thousands of dollars to enter these classes. So there's always a winner, but there's always people that lose. And they lose thousands of dollars on their entry fees. So there you go. You bet you have to be the best or you're even more broke than when you got there.
Does that make you feel better?
Not really.
Because Reed Kessler, the 18-year-old, was second and took home like $50,000. So,
yeah, I don't feel better. Not at all.
So we have not gotten Leslie on the phone yet, Jennifer? What's up? She shows up every week on time.
Sorry, no, Leslie. She forgot to charge her phone? I don't know.
What's wrong with her? Well, you want to talk about her stories anyway, Jamie?
Yeah, we'll go ahead and we'll tell stories on her. I just posted on her Facebook page, answer your phone!
Just something
pop up. She doesn't do that.
Well, try her again, but if you go to horsenation.com, there's actually something that is unbelievable to look at. And it is, this past weekend was the Grand National, which is a huge weekend for jump racing. I'm sure we're going to get to hear all about it on Wednesday with Victoria Spicer. But the fashion that they are... This is Kentucky Derby on crack, is what this is as far as fashion goes.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, because, you know, you got some women that are bringing it strong, just very strong with the fashion and the dresses. And, you know, I believe there's even some men bringing it strong in woman's fashion. That are going on over there at horsenation.com. If you look at the third picture, Glenn, third picture down, is that a man or a woman?
Okay, let me take a look. The first picture is of the lady with the fruit on her hat, which I always thought those hats were a lot tacky. Oh, you mean the one with the sort of red checkered dress? Oh.
Well, the green stripey with the red stripes on through it.
Yeah, I'd say there's some argument as to which gender that one is.
And that begs the question, what about the one below? Is that a man or a woman?
Same argument, yes. I think they may have come out of a review show in London. That's where I think they came out of, was a review show in London.
Yes.
Although the one below that, there's no question in my mind, the two women that are in the dresses and the little, what are those called, fascinators? There's no question in my mind that which gender they are. I just don't have any problems
You're
with that.
Such a pig. You are such a pig. But there is some fantastic fashion, some horrible hats. So go to Horse Nation and look at that one as well, because it will it's entertaining. And again, it will make you feel like when you look at the terrible outfits at the Kentucky Derby that we got something, we're doing something right.
That's true. That is true. Did you see the one on the ponies in the videos?
No.
You got to go. There's one right there called Seven Shetland Pony Mixers. And there are people who took videos and, you know, did things to them. They edited them. And they have ponies in them. And they are hilarious. Some of them are cute. Some of them are funny. But they've all got ponies. Cute little Shetland ponies. So you have to check those out. I mean, they're just so cute. There's like seven different videos. So go check out those. They're fun. They're fun.
I will. Wrapping up here, Glenn, to talk to you. I know how you love when you hear about celebrities that own horses. It's one of your favorite things. You know, we just talked about Matt Lauer and his horse farm. Well, did you know that Dr. Fraser Crane, is also a horse guy?
I did not know that.
Kelsey Grammer is a horse guy. Now, it's kind of interesting the way they tell the story. Of course, he's Dr. Fraser Crane from Cheers and Frasier. You know what? I bet we have listeners that have no idea what Cheers is.
Probably. We were watching. We actually watched an episode on Netflix yesterday of Cheers.
Oh, really? It's on Reels, like, every afternoon. Exactly.
Norm.
So Dr. Fraser Crane, who dated Diane later on in the episodes, who's a psychiatrist, well, he comes in and he's actually owns a horse farm, a ranch in California, and has his horse. Now, I'm going to have to give you the ending of this story, but his horse actually is an off-the-track thoroughbred who apparently he bought. It was a really burned-out hunter jumper. And who was scared of his own shadow. And he says that his home is his refuge. He loves the property. He loves going around cross-country courses. He rides a 17-hand thoroughbred named Napoleon. He was afraid of his own shadow. He's temperamental. It just goes on and on about how great this horse is. You can see pictures of him on Napoleon on horsenation.com, about, you know, five or six stories down. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. And, you know, he's had his share of problems in life. I don't know if you realize that, but he's been in rehab a few times. But I read an article on him recently that he's really cleaned up and he's doing much better. Maybe the horses helped him with that.
Really? Well, that's good, because apparently the end of this story is that
he actually got divorced and doesn't live on the farm anymore. And nobody in the Horse Nation was trying to find where Napoleon went or Camille's horse, his ex-wife, Socks. But they did find the property, which is now up for sale, a Malibu ranch for $15 million. Only $15
million.
Oh, there
million. You go. Isn't she one of the Real Housewives stars? I have never watched that show, but I think I had heard that she is one of the Camille Grammer is one of the Real Housewives stars.
Oh, I just clicked on the link, and you're right. That is one of the Real Housewives chicks.
And, boy, she's had no work done either, has she? None at all.
Oh, I wonder what she actually looks like.
I know. See, that's the thing. You look at in whose world, maybe it's just me, but in whose world do these women that get complete makeovers on their face, they don't even look human? In whose world do they look good is my question.
No, well, the lip thing, it's like that is Chad's least favorite thing in the whole wide world, is the women that get their lips done. Because I have not seen one woman who has had her lips done look good. Am I wrong? Can anybody else
point
it
right.
out?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it seems to be that every single one of them now, and most of them look like Barbie dolls with their faces stretched too tight, and they can't smile or talk. They kind of look like the Joker. I don't get it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm the only one that doesn't find it attractive. But.
No, I mean, now I'm certainly not one that's ever had a boob job or any liposuction, but I think about it. No, not the boob job, but I think about sucking something out of somewhere. I don't mind. That's cool. I'm good with that.
Yeah, but I don't think I see you getting your face done.
No, throwing what you sucked out of my butt up into my face is not going to happen. Sorry.
4.5 million for this place. I was just looking at the pictures on the website. It has a theater room to die for.
Oh, this place is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you go to horsenation.com, there's actually the link to the property, which is stunning and spectacular. And you can also see a photo of some major plastic surgery on Camille Grammer's face.
Well, we're sorry that Leslie didn't get to make it today. You can find all of the cool stuff at their website. Just go to horsenation.com. There's a couple of this is one I pretty much look at every day because she is so creative at finding fun, cool stuff, as well as there's some more serious stuff on there too. But we tend to want to talk about the silly stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. There is some real stuff on there, too. But no Leslie today, so everybody, thanks for – I guess we'll wrap it here, Glenn, because we're out of stuff to talk about, I mean, except for the fact that Judy Shepherd is like my father and continues to post pictures of little baby cowboys, little baby boys in cowboy hats on my Facebook page. So
Judy lives in Ohio, and she got to meet Frankie Lovato. She discovered that they don't live too far apart from each other, our friend ex-jockey Frankie Lovato. And so we got one of our listeners got to meet one of our regular guests. And she said, Frankie is so nice and so friendly, and he is. He and his wife, Sandy, are terrific people. I was trying to think today, maybe Jennifer could help with this. I don't remember when we met Frankie. It must have been at an expo or something years ago, because we've known Frankie for what seems like forever, and he is a really nice guy. So I'm glad that Judy got to do that and we're going to get to meet one of our listeners coming up next week, I guess.
Yes,
next week. Yeah, Rhonda from Canada, who's one of our legacy listeners, listens to every show since the beginning, and
we've
she is going. Yeah, we did, exactly. We met her at Rolex, right?
Rolex.
I think it was Rolex.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, her and her husband are coming down to Florida. They're going to be taking a cruise, a Disney cruise, and then going to Disney for a couple of days. And she invited Jennifer and I to go down and have dinner with them at Epcot one night. So we're going to do that next week. So we get to meet one of our listeners, too.
Nice. So
that's kind of fun.
That'll be a lot of fun. That's got to be something fun to have, like, when you live that close to Disney World, how many people come to visit that you get to see on a regular basis. So it's kind of fun.
And we don't want to forget to mention that Wednesday is Wheel of Trivia. We have some great prizes on the Wheel of Trivia. We have some brand-new prizes coming up, too, that we'll be able to announce in the days to come. New companies have signed on. They've seen how popular it's getting. And, of course, we had Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls. highlighted on our Facebook page by Doreen. We appreciate that as well. So you have a good rest of the day, everybody. Get a ride in. Enjoy the weather. It's spring. It doesn't last long, so enjoy it while you can.
It's summer here, so we're screwed. Anyway, everybody have a great rest of your day. Don't forget, spay, neuter, and geld. Make the world a better place.
You can at least get in your pool. We can't get in our pools here in Florida yet.
No, it's still too cold for the pool.
Is it?
I mean, the water's cold. Outside temperature is not cold. The water's cold. I'm a wimp, though.
All right, bye, everybody.
Maybe I'll just go jump in now. Forget it.